Let's do today Torah and Tea. It's the portion of Matos and Masay. They're Mechuborim, connected. We're actually going to be finishing the entire book of Bamidbar. And basically, the book of Bamidbar ends the entire Chumash, the entire Torah, because the book of Devarim, which is the fifth part of the fifth Chumash, but that is already a repetition that was said by Moshe Rabbeinu as a repetition. But the story that Moshe Rabbeinu recorded, that basically ends with this week's Parsha. So we have this week a couple of things. We have the double portion. Every Shabbos, most Shabbos, we have only one portion. But this Shabbos, we get a double portion. So that's pretty special. And also, the... just find the place over here. And also, the fact that we're finishing the Chumash, we're concluding the section of Bamidbar. We'll say Chazak, Chazak, V'nischazeg. And also, it's going to be the Shabbos Mevorchim of the month Menachem Av. We're going in Menachem Av. By us, it's going to be on Monday, it's going to be Rosh Chodesh. So that's when the 9 days and Rosh Chodesh of begins. So before I will talk first about the second Sikh a little bit, the Rebbe touches on a very interesting, important part, and that is that we find that the name of the month, what do we call this month? What do we call it? We call it, most of the time it's called Av. Av means father. She's trying to get out, I don't see her here yet. Like sometimes we'll find in the Talmud, it'll refer to this month just like Av, just the name Av. But the way most people call it today, they call it Menachem Av. That's the name of the month. When we do the blessing of the new month by the Torah on Shabbos, we're going to say the name, we're going to call it Menachem Av. Now, the Rebbe has here a very interesting observation. What is the translation of the word Menachem Av? And the Rebbe proves through a lot of different sources that the name Menachem is an integral part of this month. Actually, some places we can even call it just Menachem, but the bottom line is we call it Menachem Av. What is the taich? What is the translation of Menachem Av? Like, you know, when you say you go to be Menachem Avel, what does that mean? To comfort the mourner. Menachem means Menachem Tzion, comforting Zion, as we say in Tisha B'Av, in the prayer. Menachem means to comfort. What does Av mean?
Father.
Now, when we talk with regards to the Jewish people, who do you think the father is?
Hashem.
Very good. So basically we're saying Menachem Av, we're comforting Hashem. Well, one can understand, we know that B'chol tzorosam loitzor, whenever there is a problem by the Jewish people, Hashem's, actually, it's his problem as well. And that's why it's interesting that the Parsha of Matos and Masay are connected to the Menachem Av, because we find in the portion of Matos, and we will discuss it a little bit later, Hashem says, go and take revenge of the Midianim. The Midianim caused the Jewish people, under the advice of Bilam, they caused them to sin. So Hashem wanted to punish them. So he sent 1,000 people of each tribe, 12,000 people, to war and to punish the Midian people. Right? But Moshe Rabbeinu says, go. Hashem says to Moshe that he wants to take the revenge for the Bnei Yisrael, for the Jewish people. So this is a revenge for the Jewish people because they caused the Jewish people to sin. The Hashem made a plague. There were 24,000 Jewish people that died in the plague. So this was something which was very destructive and harmful to the Jewish people. So we understand that Hashem says, take revenge for the Jewish people, okay? Nikmas Yisrael, this is revenge for the Jewish people. But when Moshe Rabbeinu gives over to the Jewish people what Hashem has said, he says, go take revenge for Hashem. This is revenge for Hashem. And Rashi explains that when you start up with a Jewish person, you are starting up with Hashem. And when we are taking revenge for the Jewish people, that is revenge for Hashem. It's one and the same thing. So you see that concept, even though the month of Av is a time for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the Jewish people are mourning and they need to be comforted, but they're not alone that need to be. So anyways, if we are in pain, you know how parents are very much protecting their children. And, you know, if a kid comes home from school, oh, somebody made fun of me, or somebody, you know, the parents get very upset. Parents are very, very much protective of their children, and they want to make sure that only good happens to them. And if something bad happens to them, or they have a difficult day, the parents are in a great deal of pain. So we understand, we are children of Hashem. And if we are in pain, if somebody causes us pain, Tsuris, it's causing a lot of pain to our father too. So we can understand, based on the way the Parsha says, that the revenge for Hashem is the revenge of the Jewish people, because Hashem loves us, we're His children, He's our Father. So it makes sense, we understand why we need to comfort Hashem, because Hashem is, so to speak, in pain because the Jewish people are in pain. And again, in the portion of Maaseh, we also learn a verse over there which states that God finds Himself together with the Jewish people, even in their impurity. Which means God's love to His people, to the Jewish people, is even when they make mistakes, even when they transgress, Hashem still loves them. He's still our Father. So this all explains to us why Hashem needs to be comforted. Because if we, the Jewish people, are in a position which we are in pain, or we are missing out and we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, it bothers Hashem. It says, the verse actually says, B'chol tzorosom lo yitzor. In all of their problems, it's he has the tzoris Hashem. And then it says, when Hashem takes us out of Golus, it doesn't say he'll take us out, he will hichtiv la'atzme gula, he takes himself out of Golus too, because Hashem is with us. In other words, Hashem is in pain. So this all explains to us why we have to comfort Menachem of, why we need to comfort the father. But what the Rebbe is saying, while we understand that Hashem is in pain and Hashem needs to be comforted, we don't understand why is there no mention about comforting also the son, okay? But of course, we are certainly in distress. We are certainly in a situation in which we're in trouble. So how could we comfort Hashem? And I mean, how could somebody feel for Hashem when we ourselves are not feeling well? There's no mention about anything about comforting us. We're just saying Menachem Av, all what you do is comfort Hashem. But some people are not yet at the level to be able to comfort Hashem. You know, so why is it all Menachem Av? I'm not going to go and give you the entire answer. The Rebbe's point is going to be that the connection of a Yid with Hashem, Hashem chose the people, is so strong that you actually can't separate and say, anytime, basically, when we feel bad for ourselves, essentially we're feeling bad for Hashem, because Hashem with us is so deeply connected. We are His chosen people, and therefore saying comforting Hashem, our Father, is essentially the same thing as comforting oneself. The Rebbe speaks at length over there, but it's a concept of that discussed about the choosing of the Jewish body and how that's the essence of Hashem that chooses that. But either way, we know what we're going through today, for example, in Israel, and all of our suffering, that it's not like Hashem is looking away or Hashem is ignoring or He's looking aside. Hashem, every moment, it's very important to remember that every moment Hashem is, so to speak, suffering Himself. Our pain is His pain. So the only, I would say, difference is Hashem can remedy this easily, because you say if Hashem is in pain and we're trying to comfort Hashem, but Hashem is able to fix the situation so we won't have a problem. But here, this is the, you know, the idea that we don't know or understand the ways of Hashem, why He does that. But we certainly know that Hashem has not forgotten us. Hashem has not neglected us. Hashem neither sleeps nor slumbers. Hashem is always protecting. And Hashem is always looking over Israel. It says, Einei Hashem elekecha b'mereishis hashana v'adachris shana, from the beginning of the year and the end of the year. So we are sure and we are confident. Yes, we, in the meantime, there is unfortunate, difficult situation. But Hashem is with us, and Hashem will take us out from this predicament, as He will Menachem of. You know, we don't mourn for the purpose of mourning. We're mourning for the purpose to strengthen our belief and to be encouraged that we will be very speedily taken out of this exile, of this Golus, and go to Eretz Yisrael with Mashiach Tzidkenu. So that explains a little bit why we call this Menachem Av. But there's also another discussion over here, just an interesting discussion. And, you know, we can also learn, like what we're dealing with today, you know, sometimes people go to war because their purpose of the war is to conquer land, to increase the territory. Sometimes it was, we have the war that took place in Israel when they first conquered Israel, right? So that war, let me make it a little bit lower, it's like too cold. That war was for the purpose of inhabiting Eretz Yisrael, inhabiting Israel. Sometimes we find a war which is meant, oh, you just shut it, it's good, shut it now. Sometimes the war is meant to actually increase the land of Israel. You need more territory. But sometimes the war is just to punish the enemy. By Midian, the Jewish people did not inherit their land. They didn't inherit the land. On the contrary, they killed all the people that they were told to kill to take their revenge, and then they left. They didn't stay there. So that was what's called a revenge, to pay the price for what they did. And therefore, we find that actually the Levites, we find the Levites, Rashi brings down in the Chumash from the Gemara, that we find that the Levites also participated in this war. Normally, in the other wars, the Levites don't participate. How come the Levites participated in this war more than in the other wars? Is because this was a war of revenge. The Levites are a unique tribe in the fact that they have been distinguished to serve in the temple, to do the holy work. That's their job. So when we talk about, say, the land of Israel that was given already to them, the land of Israel has been given to the Jewish people way, way from the beginning. It says that when Hashem first created the world, He designated a land for the Jewish people. That was Israel. Then it says that Hashem chose a land, Israel, and Hashem chose a people, which is the Jewish people. And Hashem says, let me give the Jewish people the land that I chose for. So the Jewish people got Eretz Yisrael. So while the Jews needed to still conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael, but it was already theirs. The Levites didn't need to get involved in just the regular stuff because they were serving Hashem and they were there. You know, today we have this whole controversy about the yeshiva students going to the army, which causes a lot of friction and a lot of discord in Israel, in the politics. Of course, the point of view of the Torah, that those who are sitting and learning, actually, we're talking about those who actually study, and they're not just sitting around, are providing a tremendous service to the state of Israel, like the Levites. They don't go out to the war because their job is in the background. I mean, not every soldier is in combat. Matter of fact, I heard the statistics, which I never knew. Only 17% of the army are in combat. All the rest are support. I mean, that is, we're talking about, they're a support if they're learning Torah. Their Torah is Magino Matzlo, that protects, that shields. If they're learning Torah and that's their whole occupation, so then that's a reason for counting them as doing their service for the country by learning Torah and keeping the protection through the spirituality. If they're not learning Torah, they're just wasting their time, or they're not really serious. The Rebbe used the Talmudic phrase of Maichozi de Doma de Doch Sumak Tefei, Dilma Doma Dahu Sumak Tefei, which really means, why do you see fit that your blood is any redder than the other one's blood? Why should the other one put his life on the line and you sit back? Because you're not protecting it and you're not really helping Israel because you're not learning. So that excuse or that reason, or the good reason, not meaning it in a bad way, does not apply to them. But nevertheless, normally the tribe of Levi did not participate because they had the job of serving Hashem and doing all the spiritual stuff and teaching, etc., etc. But when it comes to a war to take revenge, to take revenge for Hashem, in such a war, the Levites do take part. Why? Because this is fighting for revenge for Hashem. That's part of the service. They're in service of Hashem, and this is revenge for Hashem. This is fighting directly for Hashem. In cases in which when they fought for Eretz Yisrael to get the land, the Levites didn't fight over there because their job was to be servants of Hashem. But what happens when they're fighting to increase the land of Hashem? What happens when they fight to increase the spoil, to increase the territory? In a way, the Levites over there are also fighting for Hashem, because if it's not the place where you have to live, which is, has been given to you, so you're just trying to expand and show the greatness of the Jewish people, the greatness of Hashem, and therefore the Levites will participate over there as well. The Levites will participate, and not only that, the Levites will participate, and the Levites will also get part of the spoil. By Midyan, the Rebbe explains, I know I'm saying a lot of different things, by Midyan, the Rebbe explains that Midyan was really two things. Mostly it was to revenge, because they didn't capture the land, but they did capture a lot of the spoil. That means also capturing. Sometimes you can capture people, you can capture land, you can capture spoil. So it had both aspects of it. And because it was vengeance for Hashem, they needed to participate. The Levites participated as well. But because it wasn't really to conquer the whole land, the Levites didn't get a part of it, of the spoil, but the Levites did get later on a separation, as we learn in the Parsha, that they gave a tax, so to speak, from that. The bottom line is that a Levi is only exempt from fighting when it's the land of Israel, which has been given to them already. But any times when it involves conquering, taking over the land, making it bigger, it's fighting for Hashem, the Levites are not exempt, actually. The Levites need to participate. And, you know, in a metaphoric way, we can explain this, that Levites are the people that are sitting and learning Torah all the time. Sometimes when you're learning Torah, you just want to learn Torah, and then you don't want to do anything else. You don't want to get involved. You know, we know today there is a lot of yeshivas, the students, they learn Torah, and they grow in Torah, and that's all what they do. They learn Torah, and they don't do anything else. We have in Israel, we have many kolels, we have many... Even in the United States, you have in Lakewood, in Muncie, and in the Borough Park, you have people in yeshivas, which people learn their entire life. They never do anything else. But we know that the style of Chabad is that you learn and you prosper, but then you also try to make a difference. In communities, in Jewish communities, you try to bring Hashem closer, just like Avraham did the first shaliach. He gave people to eat, and then he told them about Hashem, and so on and so forth. So besides learning Torah, but they also occupied themselves in the other work. So here we have the lesson that when we going to take the other lands, or we're going to widen the lands, when we're going to revenge for Hashem, then everybody needs to participate. Even the people who are in the tribe of Levi, even the people who are usually exempt, they need to also take part in the transformation from all of the land into Eretz Yisrael. I'm not sure exactly, again, not getting involved in the political whole mess over there in Eretz Yisrael, but sometimes there comes a time, as we see, that many of the people who were not even part of the army, they, on their own, a lot of people from the United States who were not even supposed to be, but when you see that there is a fight for Hashem, or in this case, a fight for survival, a fight for protecting the land of Israel, protecting the Jewish people that live in Israel. So over there, even if you're a Levi, even if you're exempt, but still you go ahead and you participate and you take and you help to transform the rest of the people. In our situation, we are not really fighting enemies that we want their land. We the Jewish people, mistakenly, but they did give away to the Hamas. They gave away all of the Gaza, all of there, they evacuated all of the people that lived there and gave them away everything and didn't leave anything. In Lebanon, the Jewish people, Israel, gave them everything. There's a little dispute over there, but basically gave them everything. So this is not a war for land. This is a war for hatred. I don't know, I just saw a clip, there was they call them influencers, they had it. He went to, he's Jewish, but he looks Italian, he said. So he went in there, he didn't know, and he took some videos, and he says, there's no question, the ordinary people in the street, they're all Hamas, there's not one of them. He says he Luckily, he escaped with his life. He was supposed to, he had to delete many of his footage that he took from there, because they were going to kill him if he didn't delete it. But he was left with some. But the bottom line is that the people there, this is like, not that I would, this is for Hashem. A lot of the help that Hashem gives the Jewish people now, it's not only to help us against a bitter terror enemy, but it's also, it sanctifies the name of Hashem. It's to take revenge for those rockets, for those innocent people that were killed on October 7th, and they came in on Simchas Torah, and when they savaged. So this has both. We're not, this is not, this is like a Milchames Midian. This is like war with Midian, which means we're not there to conquer any land, not there. We may have to conquer some of Lebanon to move the Hezbollah further away from the from Israel, from the boundaries. But that's not what it's about. It's about to really revenge the blood of those that were killed, and make sure that this doesn't happen again, to try to make sure. And Be'ezer Hashem, as Hashem said in this parsha, Nekoyim Nikmas Hashem, when you're starting up with the Yidden, you're starting up with Hashem. So this is actually the Nekoma of Hashem. And we will see with our own eyes the Menachem of how we are being comforted together with our Father, together with Hashem. All the Jewish people, that from this problem that we've been facing, things will turn around. Just like these 3 weeks, the 9 days, Rosh Chodesh Av starts the 9 days. Just like these days will turn around to be days of joy and simcha and happiness, so that will happen to us as well. And we hope that this will take place very soon.